This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Morning, I'm Ben. It's really great to see you here this morning, and it's really great to hear lots of stories this morning about what God's doing in our lives and in our community. So it's really great to celebrate that and get stuck in. So it's really great to hear your stories, and thanks for coming and telling us about the debt advice experience as well. And let's continue to do that. Let's really continue to do that. But throughout the year and various points of the year, we talk about invitation, and we're trying to put a bit of an emphasis on inviting people to join in with what God's doing. But actually, to be fair, this could be a bit awkward, to be honest. And something maybe that excites you about inviting people about following Jesus or coming to church or something like that. But maybe it fills you with fear. But that's fine. But let's look at it from a biblical perspective and get a bit of an idea about what invitation is and what Jesus talks about when he talks about invitation. Because I actually think it's quite easy to get it slightly skew-whiff, really. That's a technical term. But what I want to look at, really, is invitation is not really about an event. It's actually about a lifestyle, and a lifestyle that we're involved in. So I just really want to, hopefully what you'll take from this and encourage you is that invitation is about a lifestyle. So to encourage you in your lifestyle, as opposed to getting a bit tense about an invitation for an event or something, although we will do those things. So let's start with the invitation that Jesus gives us and essentially the command he gave to us before he left the earth. And we start with this, but as I read it, and it'll be on the screen and it could be on your, you could tap your various devices to find it, but also it's in the Bibles and the pews as well. But as we read this, I want you to hear it and try and hear it really as a lifestyle as opposed to a task. So we're going to start with Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, which is called the Great Commandment or the Great Commission from Jesus. It's on page 44 of the Bibles in the pews, but the New Testament and the Old Testament, they start the numbering again. So page 44 in the New Testament, right near the back, if you're going to use the Bibles in the pews there. So let's start Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, at this point in time, the disciples and the followers of Jesus probably thought that's probably the end of their three-year adventure with Jesus, the end of their time as Jesus left the earth. But actually, it was just the beginning of their adventure of following Jesus. And the difference was is that they suddenly became the main characters in this big story. And what Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, he says, which I think we've got as well. Yep, Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you," and that also applies to us, "will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, then all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when Jesus said that, he basically said, you need to start right here, right now. Well, he gave him a few days grace in that, and the Holy Spirit came in great power. But basically, they started where they were. They were basically in Jerusalem. Not all of them lived there at the time, but they were there, and they started where they were and where Jesus told them to start. And he basically said, he gave them a blueprint for what to do and what to do and how to live their lives. And we read in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, how they responded to this command from Jesus. And what I see from this is actually how It was a natural expression of their lifestyle and how they just carried on doing what they did when they were with Jesus, but really invited the Holy Spirit into their lives and shared it with other people. So we read in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily of those who were being saved. And sometimes we read that and it's really, really easy to say, oh, flip. In those days, the daily people came to know Jesus, and that's what it's all about. And we forget the fact of what the disciples and the followers of Jesus were actually doing. And you could read that, and I'd encourage you to read that again, in the case of, oh, actually, how do I do that? How do I live that those verses out in a practical way? It does get a bit tricky when it says they sold property and possessions and gave to everyone who had need. That feels a bit challenging, but you know, we can work on that. And that's partly what we've done and what we've talked about here, about our expression of where we give to others who are in need. And we do that, and we've heard stories of that this morning. So we are doing that, but you know, be encouraged and crack on. And but basically, all they were doing was continuing how they lived when Jesus was with them. They just continued that. And what everything did and everything they were doing flowed from their relationship with Jesus. And it was pretty powerful because of the Holy Spirit. And they depended on the Holy Spirit and they took risks to do that and prayed for people and worshipped and lived their lives out in that way. But they didn't just stay there in Jerusalem. They then went to more tricky places. You know, they went to Judea and Samaria, where basically, essentially, their enemies lived. And then they went all over the world. And now, a little bit of historical analysis and the very fact that we're here in this building today following Jesus tells us that that is exactly what happened. The followers of Jesus went everywhere, and they went all over the world. They started where they were and where Jesus told them to be. And they're essentially these normal sort of general nobodies, but in the power and the authority of Jesus, they changed the course of human history. And the really cool thing is that this is an amazing story. But it's a story that you and I are invited to be part of. The big story of where God is making all things new. And again, by the presence and the power of his Spirit. And he calls ordinary people, just like us, to enter into an extraordinary journey where every piece of who we are changes and morphs to join this great story. And basically that is a story of human history, of the present time and what the future hangs on. And we're invited to join in that story. So both the challenge and also the invitation is to follow Jesus and to take a risk and join in this story. So the obvious question really is, or maybe the obvious question is, do we want to follow Jesus? And do we want to follow him all the time? And do we want to commit our lives and our lifestyles to following Jesus? Now, something I love about Jesus is that when he invites us to follow him, it's a proper full commit. It's like, come, follow me. He doesn't say, if you've got a minute, maybe we could meet up for a coffee or maybe have fish and chips one day. Or he doesn't say, oi, come here and get yourself sorted out. You know, it's always that way when you discipline children in that accent. It works better. But fortunately, Jesus doesn't invite us in that way. And he doesn't also say, you know, listen, when you've got yourself sorted out, then you can come and follow me. Jesus doesn't say that. The invitation that Jesus gives us is really open, it's honest, it's truthful, it's full of grace. He just says, come, follow me. And the thing that is totally full of grace and amazing is that Jesus just calls us as we are. So whoever we are and whatever our circumstances, he offers that invitation, come, follow me. And when we follow him, we don't have to attain anything or be good enough. And he also gives us, at that point, all authority in heaven and earth instantly. And he just says, follow me. And as we follow Jesus, just like the disciples, we learn, we discover, we change, and we become the people that demonstrate the kingdom and speak of the life we have in Jesus in our normal everyday lives, such that it ripples out all around the world, as we read about in the Bible. So as I said, though, this is not really a task at all. It's really about a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle where Jesus says to us, come follow me. And we follow Jesus, and then we can invite and people around us just to join in with that and to follow Jesus as I follow Jesus. And it's really worth asking ourselves this question. You know, how much does Jesus turn up in the places that we go? How much does Jesus turn up in our lives? How much do we actually naturally speak of him? I'm not like, you know, manufacturing a conversation. Jesus, I said it. Well done. 1 point. You know, 10 points for 10 Jesus in a day. It's actually how natural is it that Jesus comes up into a conversation where we are. And the way we talk about our day, the way we meet people, the way we're around people as well, how much does it come up? I realised for myself, actually, in my BT job, I realised the fact that actually I don't really talk about Jesus that often. I might talk about stuff I do, but I didn't really talk about it that often. And a real breakthrough came when, one, I realised that and wanted to do something about it, but the other thing was actually praying out loud in the office that I was at. It wasn't when I was in my home office and working at home on my own, because that's a bit, you know, didn't really tell many people about Jesus other than myself. So it's actually, you know, in an actual office where people go. And I didn't just walk into the building and say Jesus out loud or start praying, but we had there's a few of us who follow Jesus at work, and we met and we prayed in a meeting room. And it was really, really interesting in the workplace, actually praying out loud and in the name of Jesus. It makes a difference. And even though we only met a few times, what I found from that is that from that point in time, it is a real breakthrough in the workplace when you start to pray in the name of Jesus in your workplace, and you pray for a difference to happen in that place, and you pray for God's transformation to come into that place, and you ask for the Holy Spirit to come into that place. It makes a massive difference. And also when we're more intentional ourselves about talking about Jesus and praying in those circumstances. And sometimes you can't pray out loud, or it's not appropriate, or this, that, and the other, but it does make a huge difference. So I'd encourage you to do that, and then we start to see the transformation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our workplaces. Because the thing is, we talk about and share the things that we love really, really naturally. And it's not really hard work. So, for example, I imagine if you love sport, maybe, or chocolate, or Aldi, or Pinterest, or Facebook, or cars, or pets, or wood-burning stoves. I talk about that quite a lot. and chopping logs and chainsaws. Brilliant. So anyway, as I say, these things come up naturally in conversation because you love them and you get, you know, enjoyment from them. It's what you love. So you then, if you love something like that and you enjoy it, you buy stuff for these things that you love. And then you set aside time for the things that you love. You may actually call this a form of worship. And that might sound slightly controversial, but actually, if you take the word worship, it's about what you give worth to. So I'm not saying we sort of build altars and we sing special songs about chainsaws or anything like that. Definitely not. That could be a challenge to the worship leaders. But, you know, worship is where we give our time, we give our energy, and we give our money. It's what we ascribe to it, and that's a type of worship. And you spend a talk about the things that you worship, and you give life to what you worship, and it comes up. So, for example, if you had a really great meal this week, or you went to a friend's house, you ate something really interesting, or you like a certain band of music, or a film, or a box set, or you'll talk about that, and it sort of leaks out of who you are. And it's not particularly extra work just to do that sort of thing or to talk about it. It's quite normal, really. But bizarrely, sometimes we just don't really think it's appropriate sometimes to talk about Jesus in the same way, even though it's somebody we love and we spend time with and we invest our energy and our money in Jesus and in the community and in the church. So it's slightly strange that we can often box that up. So I want to encourage you just to be a bit more intentional about not boxing that up or just thinking, oh yeah, it's part of my life, I'll just talk about it, and it's something I love, I'm going to talk about it. So, and I think that's really in line with the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, which is I started with in Matthew 28. But one way maybe that might help you is when it says go into the world, and it could feel like a bit of a task in some ways, but maybe it's better translated as you go into the world. So as we go into the world, make disciples. Now, it's supposed to be a way of living that we make disciples. We speak and bring life of the kingdom everywhere we go. So another question I've certainly asked myself, and it's good to ask each other, is like, are we consistent? Are we consistent in every part of our life in terms of how we talk about Jesus, invite him in, and follow? Are we following Jesus consistently in every part of our life? Now, slight confession, when I was preparing this talk, I obviously reflected this back on myself and thought, oh, am I consistent in, you know, the jobs that I have, you know, with a family, you know, when I'm on my own, all those sort of things. Am I quite consistent? I thought, yeah, I'm quite consistent, really. That's a bit of an error. Because I was traveling with work, and I walked into the building, and one of my colleagues said to me, "Have you seen this person? Because they're, you know, there's something, you know, they're in a bit of trouble, really." And it was really, really obvious. I was like, "I'm not that consistent in sharing the love of Jesus everywhere I go," because I was thinking, oh, "Okay, if I was in church or if this is my small group, I would instantly pray for that person." And I'm thinking, I don't instantly want to pray for this person at this point in time. And it was really interesting because we're with a group of us, we're with each other for a couple of days. So in my thought of, am I consistent in sharing the love of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit in all walks of my life, I thought, I am not being consistent at this point in time. But it wasn't a task. It was something, actually, I love this person. I want this person to know the love and joy of following Jesus. I want this person to be healed. I believe Jesus can do it. So am I being consistent? And then I prayed, just, you know, Jesus, show me how to pray in this circumstance. Because it was pretty awkward on a number of levels. But also, I just wanted to share the love of Jesus with that person. And also, I wanted Jesus to give me the courage to do it. And partly the thing is, with the courage to do it is, you don't know you've got the courage to do it until you've done it. So that's a tricky prayer as well, but a good one. And what happened was, I just got this I prayed that and I was like, okay, God, I want to make this opportunity and at least share your love with this person. And I did get that opportunity, got the opportunity to say, look, you know, I pray for all my colleagues at work and I'd love to pray for you and I'd love to, you know, see Jesus heal you, because I have seen people be healed of something similar. So I got that opportunity. I don't know whether they're better yet, but it's an interesting test of, are we being consistent? And if we're not, then asking God just to help us in those situations. And one way in terms of being consistent of our lifestyle, of being an inviting lifestyle and showing the love of Jesus to people, is really just to imagine you're here or in your small group all the time. So what would you do if you're in those situations? You would probably pray for a person. You'd certainly talk to them. Also, a real key thing is open up your life as well. Talk about what you're learning and simply just do those things. And the question is it that simple? Well, actually, it probably is. Just talk, pray, open your life, talk about what you're learning and see where things go. And the good news is you don't really need to be perfect at that either. And there's also people in the Bible who don't do it perfectly. But somehow God honours that integrity of when we look to do that in all our lives. The integrity of being same everywhere you go all the time, meaning bringing Jesus with you into the work, into your family, into your friendship circles, at the pub, or the teams or clubs and things that you're involved in. And as soon as you start to bring Jesus into those situations, you start talking about Jesus, you learn a lot of stuff. You learn a lot of stuff about you very quickly as well. So it's pretty exciting in terms of how you do that. And then you'll get the views of other people, which is great. So everywhere you go and everything you do, just bring Jesus and know Jesus and follow Jesus all those times and be fully present with him. And it may be that some of you talk about Jesus a lot and you wonder why it doesn't really sort of work out that well. And maybe you need to ask the people you talk to and say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I love and follow Jesus. And they'll probably say, yeah, I know that. And if they do that, it's really good and a brave question to ask. It's like, okay, when I share Jesus with you, can you tell me honestly, what do you experience when I share that? And, you know, is it helpful? Is it not helpful? How do you experience me? And if you ask those honest questions of people, then you'll get some honest answers. And we'd love to help you when you get those answers, of trying to work through that, so we're not really putting people off about who Jesus is. But there are also others of us who need to come out from behind the curtain, really, and maybe to come out from our cultural thinking and just tell people that you love and follow Jesus. And don't be a secret agent anymore. And tell the truth with your family, at work, in coffee shops, wherever we go. And watch how the power and the presence of the kingdom thicken your life and make an impact on everyone who lives around you. So let us not be pretend people. And by pretend people, I mean by knowing but not following Jesus. Let us be people who make an impact because we live in the neighborhoods we live in, because we work in the places we work, and we live the life that we live everywhere, that we go, and through following Jesus, that can ripple out to the ends of the earth. Now that's what I think is an inviting thing. So let's pray before our ministry team comes. Just want us to reflect, really. There may be places in your life where you've not invited Jesus to come with you. Maybe separate categories, either conscious or unconscious. And you try to do something instead of allowing God to work through and in your life. So if that's you, we pray, the Spirit of God, that you'll just come and open up those areas and walk with us in those areas. We say sorry for where we're not living fully with you. And just ask you to come in your power. And maybe there's others who you know, you try to share this and it feels a bit of a tough journey and you're a bit beaten up and you don't really want to hear this again. You just want to be left alone. But I just pray that through the Spirit of God that you would hear the call again of Jesus to say, come, follow me. Because he wants to write stories about you in the great story. So Lord, through your power, just help us to follow you. Amen.